Ed and Kathy, come up. Come on. Yes, you are family, and that's why we're going to bless you. I want to tell you, Ed and Kathy, when Gordon said we would love him, he did not lie. No, pastors don't lie. He wasn't even exaggerating a little bit. You can give it to him there. But, you know, we want to bless you because you have been such a blessing to us. I'm telling you, it is like family, and it's going to be hard to see you go. I don't want you to go. Well, don't cry because I'm almost at the edge there. But you have been such a blessing to us. Lifted us up. Amen. Amen. Do we have some amens out there? Lifted us up and encouraged us. Been the good shepherds that Gordon has left you to shepherd us. And you have done that and done that well. And you have blessed us. And I personally do not want you to go because you are such a blessing to us. I know the mission field is in your heart. And so they've already got a new mission that they're headed for. Maybe they'll talk a little bit about that tonight. I don't know. Okay. But they have been such a wonderful blessing, so wonderful, bringing us the word, like I said, lifting us up, encouraging us, like brothers and sisters to us. Oh, my goodness. It's just like pulling my fingers out to let you go. So just thank them and encourage them. So, thank you. So, we're going to dismiss the children for Children's Church, and as they are going to Children's Church, I want you to say our favorite verse. Last week I messed it up, so I need you to help me this week. So, now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph through Christ, and diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I'll watch Missy. She's keeping me on track. So praise the Lord. And that verse has been so wonderful, has lifted us, brought me through a situation, and God's word is so faithful and so true. So praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to go ahead and come on up and bring us the word this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roxanne. God bless you. What a blessing.
Oh, you are a blessing.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Where do you even try to start after that? I can only tell you that I know, and Kathy would say the same thing, that each of you has found a special place in our hearts. Some of you we've gotten to know a little bit more than others while we've been here. Hard to believe we've been here almost a whole month. This is our fourth Sunday, our third Sunday of ministering, but our fourth Sunday of actually being here with you. And our hearts are knit to your hearts. We believe in the call and the vision that God's given this assembly. We know God's got some great and awesome things in store. Amen.
Amen.
And every one of you have got a place picked out by God to function in that he's going to do here. So be in your place. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, everything that Jesus did on the cross and his suffering, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, all of it was for our benefit. He was defeating our enemy. Whatever stands before you today telling you you cannot succeed, that you cannot fulfill the destiny and purpose of God, remember, it's already been taken care of. Jesus has already defeated it. Amen. All we're doing is carrying out and fulfilling the mandate that came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're enforcing the victory of Calvary. That's our assignment. Amen. So it's not a question of, well, we're going to be able to defeat this enemy. He's already defeated. He's already under our feet. We already are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. And I want to tell you something, flock. God's got a purpose for this church. God's got a purpose for this congregation. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give him some praise. if you believe it. Amen. And Kathy and I are excited to see what God's going to do and how God's going to use each of you to fulfill His purpose here on planet Earth in Kaiser, West Virginia. I believe that God's going to put Kaiser on the map. Now, I know geographically, I know it's on the map. You can plug into GPS and get here. I know that. But I mean in a way that people are going to begin to know something's happening in this town. Amen. To the glory of God. It's not about exalting Living Faith Fellowship. It's not about exalting you. But as Christ is lifted up, that means the body's also being lifted up. Amen. So get excited. Be expecting. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4. Hallelujah. I want you to expect to receive the life that's in the Word. Jesus said, my word, in John 6:63. My words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. When you receive the word, life comes. Amen. That's God's intention through His word, is to impart life. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations, and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither will you be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. Chapter 53 of Isaiah, many of us are familiar with verse 5 especially. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, so forth. Verse 53 of Isaiah is really talking about what Messiah would do when He came to planet Earth. And then chapter 54 has quite a bit to do with what is the result of Christ's coming. And in particular, that through Christ's coming, that God would be enabled to fulfill the desire of His heart to cause us to be fruitful, to cause us to multiply, to cause us to enlarge, to cause us to grow. Reproduction. Because if you remember, when God created Adam and Eve and He blessed them, the very first thing that they heard, of course, was the blessing. But a part of the blessing that God pronounced on Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 was when He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it and have dominion. And He went on. So growth was a part of God's original plan. Reproducing was a part of God's original plan for Adam and Eve. It's still God's plan, but sin interrupted His ability to really work that through us. But now in Christ, we've been restored back into right position with Him. We've been put back in a position where we can receive those words and we can act on those words and be productive and be fruitful and grow and expand and enlarge. Amen? You know, when a woman is pregnant, sometimes instead of saying she's pregnant, we'll say she's expecting. Say that with me, expecting. And when we say the woman's expecting, it means that a seed has been planted into her womb, and that seed was fertilized, and now there's a growth process. She's going to, at some point in time, she's going to give birth. We say she's expecting. She's expecting increase. She's expecting birthing. She's expecting enlargement. And so God's word is a seed. And I think this is so important that we understand these things. God's word is a seed. 1 Peter 1:23. Peter said, speaking about the Holy Spirit, you've not been born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. In Luke 8:11, Jesus was expounding upon and explaining to his disciples the parable of the sower. And as he did in verse 11, he said, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Say that with me. The seed is the word of God. Seed is the word of God. So when we're receiving the word, we're receiving seed, God's seed in us. We see, you are born again because we receive the seed. We heard the word of the good news of the gospel, of why Jesus died for us. And when we receive that by faith, it began to start a process of growth within us. At that point, we were born again. That seed created a birthing within our spirit. And from that moment on, the very nature, the character, and the DNA of God was living inside of us and continues to live. And as we give authority to that seed, as we submit to the authority of that word, it continues to more and more produce and manifest itself in our life. And so God wanted Israel to receive an expectancy. He wanted her to begin to expect change. And he knew the only way that change was going to happen was if she would receive the seed of the word. And that's why God spoke this word that he gave her in verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah 54. You know, every Wednesday night we come together since we've been here, and it's been ongoing for I don't know how long. And you study the prophetic words that have been given to this congregation from God by the Holy Spirit. That seed, that's God imparting a seed, wanting to get you expecting, wanting to create an expectancy of what he's going to do in your life and also through your life. Amen. Amen. So, God wanted Israel to begin to expect a shift, an alignment, a turnaround, or a suddenly moment. That word shift is interesting. There's a prophet of God here in America. His name is Dutch Sheets. Has anybody ever heard of Dutch Sheets? Several of you have. Praise God. And, I guess it was back around April, May, June. Dutch Sheets was in prayer, and as he was praying, he heard a grinding sound. Much like when a person can't find the gears when they're shifting. You know, a new person first learning to drive a straight drive, sometimes they have trouble getting in gears. And a friend of mine said, grind them till you find them. And he was talking to me. I was the new guy learning, you know. And he said, just grind them till you find them. And this grind, and Dutch Sheets said, Lord, what is this grinding noise that I hear? And the Lord said, there's a shifting taking place, and it's not going real smoothly yet. But as my people learn to yield to me, I'm going to position them and mesh them together, and it's going to cause a suddenly moment. There's going to be an alignment, just as the gears will shift smoothly when they are properly aligned. When the teeth come together in their proper positioning, they just fit because the manufacturer created it to be that way. You were created by God to mesh together with one another. You were created by God to mesh smoothly together with Him in fellowship as we're led by the Spirit of God. One of the indications that we're going too much in our emotions, or that we're going too much with our head knowledge, is when there's a lot of irritation in making certain adjustments and shiftings. Amen? Hallelujah. Moving right along. When God puts a dream or a vision in our recreated spirit, it's to create an expectancy. You see, God not only puts seed in us to get us into the kingdom and to get us into His family so He's our Father, He also deposits seed into our life to create expectancy so we're moving from glory to glory to glory. Wasn't this morning glorious? And it was different. You know, I like it when it's different sometimes. It wasn't so much about the worship, but there was such a strong presence of praise. Amen. Of just thanking God for what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, when this expectancy comes, you can also expect opposition to come. Because, you see, Jesus taught us, Jesus also taught us that we're not called to look at the natural, but we're called to look at the supernatural. If you look at the natural, it'll limit you to exactly where you are now, only it will get worse. However, if you will train yourself to look at the spiritual, keep focused on the word seed that God put in your life, keep focusing on what God's doing, things will continually get better. But at first, there may be some opposition to that. In Matthew's gospel, let's look in verse 13. Matthew chapter 13. I did some rearranging in my notes yesterday, and I evidently rearranged something completely off the page. I don't know whether you've ever done that or not. But anyway, Matthew chapter 13. Let me see if I can find this. Matthew 13. And verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy," excitement, and that's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. "Yet he has no root in himself." There, that is a problem. "And he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles," he's offended. Now, it doesn't say if tribulation or persecution comes, it says when. As surely as you receive the word, a seed that's designed by God to create expectancy in your life, you can also expect that the enemy will try to bring persecution, to bring tribulation, to bring trouble. Why? To get you away from expecting and to begin to get you to doubt that which God has said is going to come to pass. So don't be surprised when problems come. Don't be surprised when things look strange and instead of looking like everything's moving along smoothly and victory's just abounding on every corner. Don't be surprised if, pardon me for saying this, all hell breaks loose. It just seems like everything starts falling apart even more than it was before. That's just Satan's effort to get you away from being expectant, because he knows as surely as you stay expectant in what God has said, God, who, as we heard in Sunday school from Sister Roxanne, is always faithful. He'll always do exactly what his word said he will do. Amen. You can count on God. You may not be able to always count on people. You may not always be able to count on yourself, but you can always count on God. God will not fail you. Could somebody say amen? Hallelujah. You can depend on God. When it don't look like it, you can depend on God. God, just read the book. It's just full of stories and testimonies of people who at the very last moment kept believing God, and God came through. Amen. So I want to tell you, don't be shaken by what you see with your natural eye. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Because we do not look at the things which can be seen, but at the things which cannot be seen. For the things that can be seen are temporary." That means they're subject to change at any moment. "But the things that cannot be seen, these are the eternal things. The promises of God that have not yet showed up, but it's in the book. It's as good as done if you'll just keep expecting." Hallelujah. Now, you see, in the natural, when God spoke this to Israel, it looked like there was absolutely no reason why she should believe God that there would be any growth, there'd be any expansion, any need to enlarge, any need to make any preparations for growth, because in the natural, it didn't look like growth was possible. Israel was in captivity. She was in bondage. She was being treated cruelly by those, her captors. And she had no hope in the natural. And besides that, God had rejected her. But you've got to understand something about that. That was under the old covenant. That was under the covenant of the Mosaic Law, where man was had to do certain things, and then the favor of God would be available. But if you didn't do those things, you didn't qualify for the benefits of God. That's why Jesus came, was to qualify you. Jesus came to pre-qualify you. Let me read you something in the book of Colossians. I had not planned on doing this, but this just came into my heart. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, listen to this verse. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You know how He qualified us? Through His Son Jesus. Have you ever got one of these solicitors call you on the phone, or got some of these things in the mail where they say, you are pre-qualified to get this fabulous loan deal? Which is not so fabulous, because you're going to pay a ton of interest, but that's their sales pitch. Well, God wants you to know you're already pre-qualified. You don't have to fill out any application. You don't have to do it. You've already been pre-qualified by the blood of Jesus to walk into the fullness of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. It's yours, church. It's yours. Expect it. You see, God doesn't give you what you ask for. God gives you what you expect. Let me say that again. God doesn't give you what you ask for. God gives you what you expect. There are a lot of Christians that ask the right thing, but they don't act with any expectancy. There's no faith there. They don't get anything. And Satan says, see, it's not for you. You asked, you would have got it. But you got to ask in faith. You got to ask with expectancy. Hallelujah. The only thing with you know, all these negative conditions against Israel, the only thing they had to give any validation, any validity to them expanding or creating room or making preparations for enlargement, the only thing they had was a seed. They had a seed. That's all they had was God's word. A seed. That's all they had. But it's all they needed. If you've got a seed, God's word, and you'll allow it to create expectancy in your heart, that's all you need. Look at your neighbor and say, that's all you need. That's all you need. God knew if He could get them to receive the word, believe the word, expect the word, it would happen. God would see to it. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said. My word will not pass. You could count on it. Hallelujah. There was another person in the Bible named Isaac, son of Jacob. And Isaac was in a land where there was a famine, Genesis 26. And he thought, you know, this is just not a good place. I've been promised growth. I've been promised productivity. I've been promised enlargement. I've got a covenant with God. It can't happen here. I'm going to go find some place where the blessing of God can be. And God stopped him and said, don't go. Stay in this place. Because I'm going to give this place not only to you, I'm going to give this place as an inheritance to your seed after you. I'm going to, if you'll just stay here, I'll bless you here. You see, sometimes we want to go find a better place, and God wants us to stay where we are and make it a better place. Hello? Let me say that again. Sometimes we want to find a better place. There are Christians that are always trying to find a better church. There are Christians that are always trying to find a better situation, a better circumstance where God can bless them. God can bless you any place you'll allow expectancy to draw the blessing of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Isaac decides to stay. I'm condensing this whole story. But Isaac decides to stay. And in Genesis chapter 26, real quickly, let's just look at this one verse. I think I've got enough time to fit this in. Genesis 26, verses 12 and 13. Now, this, remember, this was a land of famine. There was a drought. It was a dust bowl. It made no logical sense to stay there and expect that you'd get blessed. See, God doesn't want you to hold out. God doesn't want you to hold the fort. He wants you to go out and conquer the land. Amen? Amen. And one of the ways you conquer is by stepping out and planting some seed. because the seed represents you taking over new territory in the land. Hallelujah. Verse 12, Genesis 26. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Stop. He sows in a dust bowl. He sows in a land of famine. He puts good seed into what looks like worthless ground that ain't gonna grow anything. And yes, I know ain't good English. Hallelujah. But some of you haven't laughed yet, and I thought, well, let's try one more time. See, I think God wants us to enjoy the Word. Amen. When a husband and wife come together in intimacy, there's some joy there, or at least there should be. Moving right along. The parallel is between you and God enjoying some things. I think God laughs. I think God laughs at us, not because he's mocking us. I think he enjoys his kids. So he sows his seed into this dust bowl. And look at the rest of verse 12. And reaped in the same year in this dry desert condition where nothing's growing. And people no doubt are looking at this foreigner who's come into their land and said, poor guy. Nobody, this guy is so green on farming. He don't know you don't sow your seed into dry ground when there's no rain. Somebody, he's been out in the sun too long and his mind's been affected. You know, when you step out in faith and start living in expectancy, people are going to think you're strange. They're going to think you're from another planet, and you are. You're from a different kingdom. Amen. You may be living on planet Earth. You may be living in Kaiser, West Virginia, but you're also a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And in that same year that he sowed, he received a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Why did the Lord bless him? Because he gave God something to bless. His expectancy released the hand of God to begin to bless him, and he got 100-fold, but it didn't stop. Look at verse 13. The man began to prosper. Please remember, when God promises us prosperity, it's not just going to be one whoosh, and it's all there. It begins many times a cycle of sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and sowing and prospering till you get to the place where you're very prosperous. That's what happened with Isaac. Hallelujah. You see, the seed that he sowed and his expectancy started a cycle of increase that ended with a great shift and a suddenly that brought the fulfillment of what God had promised him. Amen. You see, every time God puts a seed in your life, it's because his desire is to fulfill that. God's not trying to trick you. God's not some sadistic person or being trying to just make you think there's something going to happen when he's not going to really do it. God's heart is for you. God's heart is to bless you. God's heart is to prosper you. And you don't need man's blessing to do it. Amen. Let me just share with you. Kathy and I, we have sponsors, churches that work with us and sponsor our work overseas. And recently, one of them decided that since we were no longer in India, that they just really didn't feel like they wanted to continue sponsoring us. They're still sponsoring our children's home there, but they stopped sponsoring us. And I've got to tell you, in the natural, it was a sizable amount that they gave faithfully every month. And we thank God for that. But, yeah, I just told God, they called us on the phone and asked if we could drive over. It was about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm purposing right now before we ever get to the meeting. No matter what they say, they're not our source, you're our source. And so we got there, and sure enough, they told us that they weren't going to support us anymore and prayed for us and blessed us and released us. And got a call from our daughter back in Abingdon, Virginia the other day, and she told us that somebody had sent a check to us in the amount plus a little bit more than what that church was sending to us monthly. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that rousing response. You see, now if I was looking, if we'd said, oh my God, we're not going to make it. I mean, brother, you know, church blank blank has stopped supporting us and we're not going to make it. God couldn't have done what our expectancy was, that God was our source. And when you expect God, God will show you the limitless and the boundarylessness. That's not right. The, the limitlessness of his boundaries in blessing you. Let's say it like that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you see, they had a seed of expectancy. Isaac had a seed of expectancy. God gave Israel a seed of expectancy. God's given us a seed of expectancy. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 in the New International Version, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future." Amen. That ought to create expectation. What are you expecting? Expect to move into something better. Expect to experience something better. Expect a suddenly in which sickness turns to health and poverty turns to wealth and shattered dreams turn into realities. Amen. Expect. I've got a word from God for this church. Expect your God to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything you can think or ask. Amen. Believe and you'll receive. You see, your believing is connected to your receiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Woo! Thank you, Lord. That's a shouting spot, isn't it? Amen. I mean, come on, the reality is. Yes! 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 But I can hear some, but Brother Bowers, you don't know what I'm facing. I don't need to know. God knows. Before you got here, God knew you'd face it and has already made preparation to take care of you. Amen. I give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be surprised, beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fire trial which will try you as though some strange thing had happened. It's a part of you getting to your blessing. David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It doesn't matter how dark or how long the valley, as long as you'll just keep walking, you'll get out. Amen. Don't stop. Keep believing. Keep going. Keep expecting. Because you're just one step away from walking into your inheritance. One step away from your healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father. You know, when a woman begins to expect when she's expecting, when she's pregnant, her and her husband at some point are probably going to get together and start thinking about a name. You need to have a name for your expectancy. What do you expect? I'm expecting God to bless me. That's wonderful, but get specific. I'm expecting God to heal me. I'm expecting God to prosper me. I'm expecting a better place to live, sister. Sister, God, expect God to put you in a better place. Forget about what has been. Forget about the drought. Forget about, well, who didn't do you right. Forget it. It doesn't matter. God's going to put you in such a good place that you won't need to worry about that. Why should I worry about... That's a word from God. That's a word from God. Why should I worry about what has happened when I can look forward to what's going to happen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus is able to prosper you so much it doesn't matter who tries to rip you off. They won't be able to get enough to do it. Jesus, hey, listen, Jesus had a thief for his treasure. That'll mess your ministry up. But you know what? Jesus never said, "Boy, we got to get rid of this dude. He's going to bankrupt us. Can't get nowhere in this ministry. I've got to get rid of Judas." No, Jesus, just let him alone. Jesus never had any lack because he knew how to get it supernaturally. Got to feed 5,000 men besides women and children. No problem. We'll just bless God and we'll talk to God. And we'll say, "God, this is what I got. Multiply it." Amen. What have you got that you can let God multiply? Amen. Oh, don't get me going now. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So God begins to give instructions. Back to Isaiah 54. God began to give instructions to Israel about what they were to do in their expectancy. See, there's things you ought to do when you're expecting. Amen. And listen, it's easy to preach this. And you sit out there, and I can just get up here and preach and go. But the reality of it is, I have to fight these things too. Kathy and I fight these things. We deal with issues. Don't ever get the idea that your pastor's just got it all figured out and it's all, and he's just trying to help you four people get through because he's already achieved it. No, we haven't. We deal with the same things you deal with. We fight the same devils you do. Some of them got hair on them. It don't matter. Jesus beat the hairy ones too. Hallelujah. Demons hang around us long enough, they'll end up looking like me. They won't be hairy no more. Hallelujah. Let's look in verse 54. First thing he says to him in chapter 1, sing, O barren. Oh, you have not born. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. In other words, be joyful. If you're really expecting, be joyful. And one of the ways to get your expectancy up is to begin to get joyful in what he said. Begin to thank him. Not when you see the birth. Not when you see the birth, but when you get the word. This is what creates the expectancy. Anybody can expect when the baby shows up. But it's too late to build the nursery when the baby's already here. I mean, you got to be doing some preparation. And that's what God's trying to get them to do, is prepare to receive his blessing. God, a church, I know within my heart, God's wanting you to prepare to receive his blessing. Amen. It says rejoice. You know, get alone with God. And just make yourself, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for what you're doing. You say, you look crazy doing that. I'm not doing it for you. You know, get in your bed. Listen, if the only time you ever shout's in church, oh, you ain't going very far, honey. You got to do this 24/7. Come on. You got to do it when you don't feel. I've got up and done that and I didn't feel I do. I thought, God, this is dumb. I don't feel nothing. It's not about your feelings. It's about his promise. It's about what he said he would do, amen? Glory to God said he would do something. He'll move heaven, earth, and whatever else it takes to do it if you'll believe it, amen? Because God's not going to be mocked. God's not going to have some circumstance keep him from doing what he promised you. And then you look and say, God, I was expecting and you didn't do it. God, well, you know, I had these circumstances. Give me a break. Do you know how many people I'm trying to deal with? No, it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. And then he said, let's come on down. Hallelujah. Look in verse 2. He said, enlarge. Expand the space of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your tent. And don't hold back. Lengthen the tent ropes and drive in the tent pegs. In other words, build with stability. Don't build that which will today will stand and tomorrow will fall, because the rain will come and the winds will blow and it is going to go through testing to see if it's built on the rock. Jesus said that if we build on the rock, which was hearing his word and obeying it, then he said it would stand the test. But if you just hear the word, hearing the word's not the solution alone. It's a beginning. It's a part of the process. But we hear the word, and then we must act on the word. Amen? Hallelujah. We must act on the word. See, God's not going to fulfill his word until you act on your expectancy. Let me say that again. God's not going to fulfill his promise until you act on your expectancy. Hallelujah. God's telling him to stretch. And the truth of the matter is, we don't like stretching because stretching can seem to be uncomfortable. Amen? You know, we tend to be, by nature, we tend to be creatures of habit. We want things to be predictable. We want things to be neat and compacted. I'm one of the worst you ever seen. I go over my notes and I adjust them and I adjust the indentations and all the spacing. I want it to be so perfect. And sometimes I just imagine God said, would you get over that? And sometimes when we're trying to make God so predictable, God says, I want to do so much more than your predictability. He said in His Word, didn't He, that He was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all you could think or ask. Your little brain cannot outlimit God unless you allow it to. Now, you can allow your mind to limit God. See, some people want all of God. They can strain through their brain. Selah. It's true. That's right. I can see God doing that. Well, what about what you can't see? You see, the Word is there to give you something to see that you can't see. What I mean by that is simply the Word's there to help you see beyond the limitations of your mind. And then what you've got to do is you've got to renew your mind to this so that your mind and your thinking comes up to a whole new level. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're about there. We're about there. Now, I had thought about bringing a rubber band because in India, a lot of times when I'm teaching in Bible school, I'll use this example. You can take a rubber band and you can put a pen or a pencil in that rubber band and that rubber band will hold it. It'll just fall right through. But if you get a fistful of pens or pencils and put that same rubber band around, it'll hold it, but you got to stretch it. You see, if you want God to give you more, you've got to be willing to be stretched to accomplish more. To encompass more. To expect more, to hold more. Now, I've heard some people teach, and I'm not debating theology or doctrine with anybody, but I've heard people teach that God will never give you more than you're able to handle. But if you remember, when Jesus was standing by the Lake of Galilee preaching, teaching, and there was such a crowd he needed to be able to have a little space between him and the people. And so he got into Peter's boat and said, thrust out from the shore just a little bit. And he sat in the boat and he taught people. And then when he was finished, he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, launch out into the deep and you'll be able to catch a great bunch of fish. And Peter said, Jesus, you don't understand. Peter was trying to express his wisdom as being a fisher. You don't understand, Lord. I know you're a teacher, you're a great rabbi, miracle. I am a fisherman. And we fishermen who know how to fish, we've toiled all night. I've noticed in the Bible it seems that in that area that fishing was done primarily at night. And he said, we've toiled all night and we didn't catch anything. They're not out there. So forget that. And then Peter had a second thought. This is Jesus. Aren't you glad sometimes the Holy Ghost helps you have a second thought? Oh, whoa, wait. Of course, you got to realize that St. Peter was the guy that got Jesus and said, come here, Jesus. And began to rebuke Jesus when Jesus talked about going to Jerusalem and being killed. The Bible says Peter rebuked Jesus. And I told Kathy, I said, honey, where was Peter's brain? He's rebuking Jesus. He's rebuking the one who is the sum total of all wisdom and knowledge. And here's puny old Peter who can't open his mouth without getting his foot in there. And he's trying to rebuke Jesus. But anyway, so Peter says, okay, look, Jesus, on your word, just because you said so, get a word from God, let your expectancy cause you to do something just because he said to. Just on your word, I'll let down the net, and he did. And the Bible says he encompassed such a great multitude of fish that his net began to break, and he called to his partners who were in other little boats and making, and their boats began to sink. Listen, Jesus gave them a lot more than what they were prepared for. Jesus will send you it. Now, you may not be able to contain it all. You may not be able to keep it all, but he's a God that does exceedingly abundantly, right? I mean, if you believe that, don't expect God just to answer your prayer. Expect God to go over the edge with it. You know, have you ever been to these picnics and church picnics? And there's always somebody that just loves to eat. Now, I won't say it's me, but anyway. And they just keep putting the food on that plate and the thing's starting to bend and the stuff's starting to kind of drip over the side. That's God. He just loves to pile it on. He just loves to pile it on your plate. So you need to make sure your plate's got sideboards on it to hold the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah 54 and verse 4. The Lord talks about don't fear. Do not fear, because fear can short circuit your expectancy. And we all have to fight fear. Not, but God's not sending fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. But He did give us a spirit of power and love and a sound, well-disciplined, focused, calm, self-controlled mind. Amen. Your mind may be everything but that, but that's what you need to confess you've got, because that's what God gave you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do not fear shame. Something that God, what if I try this and it doesn't work? First of all, don't try it, just do it. There's a difference. Don't try God, do it. Amen. God's never asked anybody to, well, there's one place. In Malachi and tithing, God says, try me, prove me, test me. It's the only time God ever said you could test Him. The rest of the time, you're supposed to just know, hey, if God said it, it's going to be done. But God said, God will do it. Don't worry about it. Don't try it. God won't let you down. Amen. Even if you get out, start. Have a start. You can't change the direction of a parked car. That's a big revelation. But you can't change the direction of a parked car. So start moving. And if you're moving in the wrong direction, God can change your direction. But don't expect God to change your direction and you not moving. When you get expectant, you'll start moving. When you start get expectant, you'll start changing. Things change in a household where a woman is expecting. Diets change, schedules change, and the list goes on. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because change is going on. So don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to get in your heart. So since God didn't give you fear, you've got a right to say, I reject that. I'm not going to accept fear in my life. Stay focused on the Word. Past, present, future, God will come through for you. You've got God's Word on it. Amen. See, there used to be a time in our country where you didn't have to sign contracts. You just shake somebody's hand and say, I give you my Word. See, that's what God's given us. He's given us His Word. But as if that weren't good enough, God did give us a contract. It's called our covenant. By the blood of Jesus Christ and the bruised body and broken body of His Son, we've got a covenant contract with God that says, I will not fail you. And God's Word carries a lifetime guarantee. Hallelujah. Take that to the devil, shake it in his face, and see what he has to say about it. Amen. God gives you a lifetime guarantee. None like people today who manufacture things, and it seems like it was made to wear out the day after the warranty's expired. Amen. But God's not like that. Your warranty with God will last you a lifetime. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I believe with all of my heart that in the 3 Sundays, Kathy and I have been here, that I shared with you that which God has given me to share. I believe that these were words for this congregation because God wants you to be expecting so much from such a big God. Amen. I envision this place being full again. Hey, listen, if God could fill it up once, why can't God fill it up again? Come on, can somebody say something? If God can fill it once, why can't God fill it again? God hasn't changed. Listen, it wasn't you, it was God. But you worked with God. You see, God's expansion, God's growth process requires a cooperative effort between you and God. God was going to do His part, but God's not going to do your part. God doesn't expect you to do His part. He only expects you to do your part and have faith that He's going to do His. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm expecting Pastor Gordon to be calling and saying, hey, you wouldn't believe what's going on at Living Faith Fellowship Church. You wouldn't believe the people are coming. You wouldn't believe Kaiser. You wouldn't believe the changed atmosphere in this town. And I say, yeah, we've been expecting it. Can we say it together? I'm expecting it.
I'm expecting it.
One more time. Would you stand up and say it? Glory! Hallelujah! Give God praise. Amen. 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 See, all the promises in God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen. And no doubt about it, God's already said yes. When he sends his word, that's God saying yes. When God puts a seed in, that's him saying yes. Honey, when we go to Mauritius, whoo, look out, Satan. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you for letting us come. I thank your pastors for putting the confidence in us to entrust us for 3 Sundays to minister to the flock that God holds him accountable for. I could mess up and God would deal with me, but primarily Pastor Gordon and Debbie would be the one carrying the responsibility, or if Kathy messes up. But by the grace of God, I believe we've done you nothing but good. I know we've taught you the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you and we'll dismiss. Father, there are miracles in this place. I know it by your word. I know it by your Holy Spirit. There's miracles waiting to begin to happen like popcorn in this place. Healings, deliverances, prosperity, breakthroughs, turnarounds, shifting suddenly moments in which, just as it were, almost in a blink of an eye, that which was no longer exists, and now God's kingdom is being established. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. God, I pray your blessings on this congregation. I thank you that you're going to bless everything they'll put their hands to in obedience to your instructions. God, you're going to bless it and you're going to prosper it. I thank you they're highly favored in this town. Father, you're just pouring your favor out upon them. Father, that when there's a need, Father, you've got somebody that you'll use to cause that need to be fulfilled so that the ministry doesn't even have to miss a step. Just keeps right on in pace, right on in timing with your plan and your purpose and your destiny. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you've allowed Kathy and I the privilege to come and be a part of this congregation and to fellowship with them and to get to know them. Lord, and we're connected at the heart. And I thank you, Father, even though this is our last Sunday, I thank you, Father, that, Father, from here on out, God, we're going to carry each other. Just as the priests did in the Old Testament, they carried the people of Israel on their hearts. Lord, we're all priests and kings in your kingdom. And I thank you we're going to carry each other on our hearts before your throne. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Okay. Is there a microphone someplace? Kathy's got a message in tongues and believing for the interpretation to come forth. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. E koribikanda. E koribikanda haramose. Veramakutai lepokuriseta. E komba hahi kindo. En glubadane porovikete. Foritikena hai. Verediopai. Kondisi orime. Forantikena mozi. Ain genotu. Forantikamai. Ain denu. Endosai konomasita nikeda.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For the Lord would say unto his people, from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, I'm sending forth a call. And I'm calling people to come to this place. I'm calling people into this area who will connect, who will unite, who will be a part of what I want done, who will obey my voice, and you'll connect with them. And there'll be a great army raised up here. And I say unto you, my children, I'm going to do things that you would never believe in your natural mind. Only by expecting will you be able to comprehend what I am going to do here in this place, says the Lord. And I tell you, my children, that you can search and see if you can find one who can truthfully say that the Lord God promised and did not fulfill. For I am the God who not only speaks, but I am the God who brings it to pass. And I say to you, you are my children, and I've called you, and I've called you to this place. I've assembled you to this place for my purposes. You're not here by accident. You're not here even by your choosing. You're here by my divine purpose and call. And I've assembled you together for my purpose. Be one, says the Lord. As my son prayed that you would be one. Be one. Be united in spirit. Be united in vision. Be united in expecting me, your Father, to do great and mighty things, to bring to pass that which I have said in my word. And you will see it happen, says the Lord. For these are the days of revival. These are the days of renewing, says the Lord, in which I am pouring out afresh of my Spirit upon all flesh. And some will come, and they will not come from the background that you may expect. So expect those to come from diverse backgrounds and those from diverse ways of thinking, but they'll come in and they'll blend harmoniously. They'll come in and they'll blend together and they'll be one with you. You'll know them. You'll know them by their spirit. Do not judge them because they don't understand all you understand, says the Lord. But as you are willing to share, and as you're willing to care, and as you're willing to bear, they'll begin to understand. They'll get revelation, just as you have gained revelation, says the Lord. So expect, my children, expect your God to go so far beyond what you can comprehend. For that is my heart for this place, and that is my heart for you, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Kathy, you got anything you'd like to share with the people?
Hallelujah. We're going to miss you. You're in our hearts. We'll carry you with us.
Amen.
And if we don't remember your names, we remember your faces.
Amen.
And we'll be back.
Amen. Amen.
We'll be back to see you.
Amen. Okay. See all God's doing. God bless you.
Amen. Don't forget your visitors.
Yes. Visitors. Like, can we give our visitors a hand today? Thank you for coming. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you all for coming. Amen.